All right, Shabbos, good evening. Good evening. Let us begin. We're picking up on base. If it's all right, I'm actually going to pick up from where we left off on Wednesday night. Because, Baruch Hashem, I think a lot of us weren't here on Thursday night. So just, and I don't really want to skip any of this Gemara. That's the honest truth. So we're picking up Emirat Hashem, Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, 32a. And we are picking up Emirat Hashem in the widest lines, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 lines down in the wide lines. The Gemara says as follows. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe. Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, Lech Reid. Lech Reid. So remember again, this is after 32a, in the widest lines, 5 lines down in the widest lines. So remember again, this is after the sin of the golden calf. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, Lech Reid, go down from the mountain. Moshe Ben, remember again, is on Mount Sinai, he's on Har Sinai. And meanwhile, again, Moshe Rabbeinu is totally oblivious to what's been going on down below. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu obviously knows. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, go down, leave the mountain, and go back to Klal Yisrael. So it's a really beautiful Gemara. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe, raid migdulascha. So Lech Reid means not only simply Moshe Rabbeinu go down from the mountain, but literally again, descend from your greatness. Descend from your greatness. What does this mean? Klum nasati l'cha gedula ela b'shvil Yisrael. The only reason that I gave you an elevated position was because of what you do for Klal Yisrael. Va'achshav Yisrael chatu. Now Klal Yisrael has debased themselves. They've sinned in such a dramatic way. Atalamali, what do I need you for? I'll say a very dramatic Gemara. So there was Moshe Rabbeinu again, who himself has been Moser Nefesh, who has just been self-sacrificing, Klal Yisrael. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, if the people debase themselves and they've sinned, I don't need you anymore. In other words, Moshe, what is Kadosh Baruch Hu saying? Moshe, this sounds like strong, but your value is only determined by what you do for the Klal, what you do for the collective. And if there's nothing for you to do for the collective, because they've just fundamentally debased themselves, then I don't need you anymore. It should also say it's a very overwhelming Gemara, because a lot of times in life, we sometimes erroneously gauge our success based on what we do for ourselves. Right? In other words, what are my accomplishments? What am I going to do? What have I amassed? What have I done? And I will say sometimes it's incredibly important to recognize that very often in life, our accomplishments are what we do for the Klal. What have I done for Klal Yisrael? What have I done for the Jewish people? What have I done for my community? Those are my true accomplishments in this world. Incredible. Miyad tashash kocho shel Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu, upon hearing this, as you could imagine, literally again was sapped of all of his strength. Which makes sense. Moshe Rabbeinu, again, remember, we'll say, even though this is the beginning of the Jewish people's sojourn in the desert, Moshe Rabbeinu had already sacrificed so much for the Klal. Right? He had given up a normal marriage. He had given up raising his children. And then he hears HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm done with you. I'm done with you. So what happens? V'lohayu koach ledaber. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't even, like Kiviyachol, have strength to respond to Hashem. V'chevan she'amar heref mimeni v'ashmidim. Then when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, God says to Moshe, release me, and I will destroy the people. Amar Moshe, so Moshe Rabbeinu said, Davar ze taloi bi. Now here's what's interesting. From the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, release me, indicate Moshe Rabbeinu understood that what? That he had the power over God. I will say this in general is the power of a tzaddik. That a tzaddik has, again, it's incredible to think about it. It sounds almost like a little bit like heretical to say, but a tzaddik, kiviyachol, has power over the Ribbono Shel Olam. So therefore, again, Moshe Rabbeinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, literally, let go of me and let me destroy the people. So in that statement, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is clearly indicating that Moshe Rabbeinu is kind of holding, so to speak, the Ribbono Shel Olam at bay. It's incredible. Amar Moshe, Davar Zat Talui Bi. Moshe Rabbeinu understood that this entire matter, the future of Klal Yisrael, is fundamentally dependent on me. Amad v'nischazik b'tfilo u'bikesh rachamim. So what happened? Moshe Rabbeinu strengthened himself in prayer and asked for divine compassion from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Really incredible. Mashal HaMelech Shekas. So Limar gives a parable. Mashal HaMelech Shekas Albino v'haya makeyu maki gedola. So we'll say it's comparable to a king who got angry at his son. Got angry at his son, and he was hitting his son. You know, now it's the good old days, right? And there was, you know, like, you know, corporal punishment, you know. It's those of us who grew up with it thanked our parents for it, right? So the nice, PC, don't worry, don't. So like a king who was punishing his son. So what happens? The king is disciplining his son. You don't have to go with hitting. King is disciplining his son. Meanwhile, a beloved friend of the king is watching all of this happen. Amra Melech, the king says to his friend, El male o avizesh yoshev lefanai harakticha. All right, this is a little extreme. So the king says to his son, you know, you're lucky. You're lucky my friend is here, because if my friend wasn't here, I would kill you. Okay, a bit hyperbolic, but you understand. What the king is saying is, oh, my friend is really keeping my temper at bay. So I'll say, so what happens when the friend hears this? Amar, davrezet taloi bi, miyad amad vehitzilo. So when the friend hears this, what does he realize? What does the friend realize? See, let's say it's so profound. The friend is sitting there this whole time. And how does the friend feel? How does the friend feel? Helpless and powerless. Meanwhile, the king says to his son, you're so lucky my friend's here, because his presence is what's saving you. And the friend realizes, oh my gosh, I'm absolutely powerful. Both say, so now, the of course, it's comparable to Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Moshe Rabbeinu hears that Hashem Baruch Hu is about to destroy Klal Yisrael because of the sin of the golden calf. And then Moshe Rabbeinu feels powerless. Hashem says to Moshe, just let go of me. Let go of me and I'll destroy them. Moshe Rabbeinu says, let go of you. That means I'm holding you back, which means I'm so incredibly powerful. And I both say, it's a really profound metaphor in life. There are a lot of times in life where things happen and we kind of like are by the sidelines and we feel absolutely powerless. But the truth is, you'd be surprised. Now, there are legitimate circumstances like that in life. But you'd be surprised how many times in life, just because you feel powerless, doesn't mean that you are powerless. Very often, even when I'm on the sidelines thinking that I have no intervention over here, it's not true. We have the ability to often impact, we have the ability to affect change, even if we can't fundamentally shape the outcome to our liking. But we are not powerless, relegated to the sidelines of life. Each of us has more koach. Moshe Rabbeinu thought he was sidelined and powerless. Meanwhile, he's powerful. The friend of the king thinks that he's sidelined and powerless. Meanwhile, he's ridiculously powerful. We'll say, I think one of the greatest lessons we learn as we get older, I think when we're young, we often wait for other people to like make things happen for us. And then as we get older, we recognize, I'm actually that more powerful than that. I don't have to wait for anyone to make anything happen for me. If I want something to happen, I can make it happen. Obviously, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's help, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's blessing, it doesn't mean I'm going to be successful I think as we get older, there's nothing better than that moment when you flip that switch and you're no longer waiting for anyone for anything. Now, if anyone for anything, whatever I want out of life and whatever I want to happen, I am going to make happen myself. Why? Because I have so much more power than I ever give myself credit for. Incredible Gemara. Let's go back there. It says, so remember again, this is all about say, still sin of the golden calf. So what happens? So Moshe, Hashem says, Moshe, literally let go of me. Shmuel, especially delicious tonight. This is not, what is this? Yeah. Is it the honey?
I'm not sure which flavor it is.
Excellent. I've never had such flavorful tea. Chavra, if you don't have a cup of this. Right. That's what it is. It's anything. You know, I'll tell you just a great, it might be a mixture. I remember one time there's a winery in Sfas called the Abu Hav Winery. Beautiful, beautiful winery. Like literally overlooking, I'm sorry?
Did we go to it?
I don't think we went to it. No, I think it was closed. Yeah, I think it was closed. So I was there with my family a number of years ago. It's a beautiful winery that overlooks the hills of Tzfas. Absolutely beautiful. So you go in, they have a magnificent tasting room. And what's even better than the tasting room is they have a trampoline in the back. So if you come with kids, the trampoline happens to be on the side of like a sheer cliff, but whatever. It's not that. They have one of those netting things over there, so it's fine. It's fine. So I remember we were there a couple of years ago. My wife and I were sitting in the tasting room. It was already past 10:30 in the morning, so it was fine. So it was, and he was bringing out these delicious wines. He had this one wine called Erbuvia. Erbuvia means like a mixture. So he was telling, I forgot the guy's name, the vintner. He was telling the story that that one year he just had like a number of half barrels of stuff like that. Just, see, he said, you know, it wasn't enough to really do anything. He threw everything together. And he made this wine called Erbuvia. So he said it was the best wine he ever made. What was the problem? He had no idea how he made it. he sold off all the bottles, right? And then only after he bought them back. He bought them back for like triple the price because he had to try to figure out like how to reverse engineer it. So he made all this. I don't know why am I bringing up this story now?
The tea.
Okay, good. Thank you. It was just such an incredible mussar. How like, you know, sometimes the best things in life happen when you stop trying to micromanage the details, right? Sometimes just when you let things come together and kind of mix the way they should mix, some way, somehow, they come together. So I'll tell you something amazing. So actually, Purim, I don't know, Larry, you could try to track this down. I don't think you can get it. I don't think you could get it. So Purim happens to be, somebody said they found a bottle in New York. So he brought it for me for Purim. So I'm saving it for Dalit Kosos and Mirat Hashem. Actually, probably not. I'll probably drink it before. But let myself, because four cups, everybody gets to have it then. You know, this is I'll share it. So again, let's say, so just the tea also, I don't know what this is, but it's some kind of mixture of something. Sometimes the best things in life happen. Stop trying to control everything and just let HaKadosh Baruch Hu work his divine magic and beautiful things occur. All right, in any event. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Vata, Hanicha li v'aichar api b'ahem. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, literally, let me go. Hanicha li, let me go. V'aichar api b'ahem. My anger will flare against them. V'aseh oscha l'goy gadol. And Hashem says to Moshe, I'll make you into a great nation. I'll make you into a great nation. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Moshe. In other words, let me go. Let me destroy Klal Yisrael. And Moshe will make you into a great nation. I'm Rabbi Abba. El Moli Mikra Kasovi Ashavi Omar. Listen to this. So Moshe, if the Pasuk wouldn't have said it, it would have been almost impossible to say. Meaning what? So listen to this. Shet Melamed Shetafsu Moshe LaKadosh Baruch Hu Ka'adam Shutofes Eschavero Bebigdo. So Moshe, this is incredible. Kivi Yachol. You see, Hashem says to Moshe, let me go. Now, I both say, what is the lesson of let me go? What image does that conjure up? What image does it conjure up? That Moshe Rabbeinu Kivyochel is like holding the Ribbono Shel Olam by like the lapels of his Bekesha, you know? Because Baruch Hu wears a Bekesha, of course, right? So the Ma'aseh, right? he's holding him by the lapels. Because Baruch Hu says to Moshe, let me go. Let me go. So Gemara says, it's almost as if that Moshe Rabbeinu was restraining HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'am alafanov, Ribbono Shel Olam, ein ani manichecha, and Moshe literally says, I'm not letting you go until you promise to forgive them. If you promise to forgive Klal Yisrael, I'll let you go. Otherwise, Moshe will say, so all of this, you know, in Chassidus, so much of Chassidus is built on the power of the tzaddik. So, you know, people often misunderstand like the role of a tzaddik. I don't need an intermediary to God. No one needs intermediary to God. In fact, one of the most beautiful things about Yiddishkeit is that each of us has a direct channel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't need to go to a tzaddik, to a rebbe. I don't need anyone to speak to God on my behalf. I have the ability to speak to God directly. That being said, what's the power of a tzaddik? That sometimes the tzaddik, because he is a tzaddik, could enjoy a closer relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than maybe a regular person. And therefore, as a result, a tzaddik is able to accomplish things that are maybe a regular person can't. So a Moshe Rabbeinu, because he's a Moshe Rabbeinu, kivyochol, whatever this means, has the ability to restrain Hashem. Obviously, but that it's anthropomorphic and it's metaphorical, but the idea over here is that the tzaddik somehow has the ability to kind of keep the negative divine decree at bay. So Moshe Rabbeinu is not allowing HaKadosh Baruch Hu to go ahead and destroy Klai. So I will say, so by the way, you'll say to yourself, how does the tzaddik have that power? How does Moshe have that power? It's very simple. If you look at Moshe, well, it's not simple, but if you look at Moshe Rabbeinu, I will say, what was the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu's greatness was not that he went up on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. That wasn't his greatness. Kadosh Baruch Hu performed that miracle. Moshe Rabbeinu's greatness was that he was willing to sacrifice for God. Greatness comes from sacrifice. You know, contemporarily, we don't like the word sacrifice. You know, I think I mentioned this. Somebody said to me, you know what's, you know, there's the phrase, you want to have your cake and eat it too? So someone said something even better. Really, what you should aim for in life is to have your cake, eat it too, and then have some more cake for later. Right? That, in other words, shouldn't have to sacrifice anything. I always say it's not the way life works. Greatness is found in sacrifice. When you look at what makes great people great, it's because they were willing to give up certain things because they had a vision, because they had a destiny, because they wanted to accomplish something. So Moshe Rabbeinu is an extreme example of this. Because remember, again, Moshe Rabbeinu gives up everything. Moshe Rabbeinu gives up all the trappings of a normal life to be able to become Moshe Rabbeinu. I will say, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that you're willing to sacrifice for him, then your word holds an incredible amount of weight. So when a Moshe Rabbeinu, who essentially gave up everything for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says, holds on to the lapel, so to speak, of the Ribbono Shel Olam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is restrained. Out of deference, out of respect for someone who's willing to sacrifice anything and everything for him. Incredible. Let's go right there. Says in Gemara, V'eses chalegoi gadol. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tries to tempt Moshe Rabbeinu and says, Moshe, let me destroy Klal Yisrael, and I'll make you, Moshe, into a great nation. Amr Belazir, Amr Moshe, Levin HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bama Shalom. So Moshe Rabbeinu responds. He says, God, it's not a good offer. Uma kise shel shalosh regalim. Eino yachol lamo lefanecha b'shas kasecha. So listen to this. Moshe Rabbeinu says, God, if a chair with three legs, now what's a chair with three legs? That's a reference to Am Yisrael. What are the three legs of the chair of Am Yisrael? Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So therefore, again, Moshe Rabbeinu says, you know, God, when you get angry, a chair with three legs. And I will say, now, normally a chair with three legs is stable, right? It's stable. But yet Moshe Rabbeinu says, Chash Baruch Hu, when you get angry, even a chair with three legs is unable to remain stable. So, shal regal achar alachas kama v'kama. Furthermore, again, Moshe Rabbeinu says, and now you want to make a whole nation out of me? That's going to be a one-legged chair. And a one-legged chair has absolutely no stability at all. Furthermore, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Elish yesh bi boshes panem me'avosai. Moshe Rabbeinu says, how could I go back and face Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and face my ancestors, if you destroy Klal Yisrael on my watch? After all, what are they going to say? What are my ancestors going to say about me in the world to come? Yomru, ru'u parnes shehemid aleim, bikesh gadul liatzmo, v'lo bikesh alei rachamim. So what happens? Moshe says, after 120, I'm going to go to Shammai. What's going to happen? They're going to chastise me. My ancestors are going to chastise me. What are they going to say? Moshe, you failed. You failed. Look what happened on your watch. See, I will say, you know, it's interesting, without getting political, but one of the most interesting things, and I think one of the things that's most rattling in the aftermath of October 7th, is, and one of the things that's most missing now in Eretz Yisrael, is part of leadership is when there's a failure, you own it, right? The buck stops with the leader. The buck stops with the leader. And when a leader, and I will say, so much of leadership is apologizing. Leadership and marriage is about apologizing for things you did not do, right? And I'm sorry. Again, it's apologizing and asking for forgiveness, even if you're not actually culpable. Why? Because the buck stops with you. And if you're the leader, you are responsible for anything and everything that happens on your watch. That's what leadership is. That's why when you see people, unfortunately, again, who tried to scapegoat or tried to say, it wasn't my fault. Maybe it wasn't. But if you're the leader, you own it. And if you can't own it, doesn't mean you're a bad person. You're just not a leader. And also what's incredible over here is Moshe Rabbeinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm the leader. So as such, I don't have the luxury of just allowing you, so to speak, to destroy Klal Yisrael on my watch. Because what's going to happen after 120, then when I go to Shemayim and I have to face all of my ancestors, are going to say, you're a failed leader. Look what happened on your watch. Look what happened to your flock. Look what happened to your constituents. We'll say, by the way, just so you appreciate so much of these Gemaras. You know, again, we already know these are life Gemaras. These aren't just like stories. These are life Gemaras. What it means to be a leader means to accept responsibility. All right, we'll have to stop over here for tonight. Incredible. By the way, I just want to tell you, the coming Gemaras, ridiculous. It almost feels like too good. Almost feels like we don't deserve such good Gemara. Oh, you deserve it. But all right. Let's say Shkoyach. Continue this week. Regular schedule. Mir Hashem. Shkoyach, everyone. And Shkoyach to Shmuel Mati. Really. You have to eat yourself.